There was a farmer. He attended a church service. And he was surprised by all the pamphlets and the talk and the teaching on how to get people to come to church. How to get people to attend service meetings. And he was shocked by this, and he actually spoke up. He said, you know, I don't understand it. He said, when I go to a farmer's convention, nobody says, how do we get the cattle to the rack? He said, we pour out the feed and the cattle come. It's simple as that. And how simple is it, and how true is that statement when we look at it from a spiritual standpoint? When the church is feeding the people and the people are receiving the food that they need from the house of God, how easy is it to fill up the house of the Lord? When people come in broken and they leave whole, when people come in hurting and they leave with strength and they're no longer hurting, when people come in with a past and they leave feeling like God has forgiven them of all the things that they ever faced in their life, how much more will they come to the house of the Lord when they feel like they're being fed? You know, the truth is that many people go to church, but they're not feeling or being fed anything. Listen, you can get religious fluff. There's a lot of religious fluff in the world. There's a lot of religious churches out there that'll give you the feel goods. They'll give you a motivational speech, but there's something different about receiving real food. Before I became an adult, I liked sweets a lot. But now I eat only a few sweets because I realize I need some vegetables too. As I got older, I began to realize that a healthy diet is an important diet. Man. And Christians, when we come to the house of God, this is supposed to be the place where you are fed spiritually. Amen. You're supposed to come in here and you may be beat back or hurting or feel like the devil's been fighting you and attacking you. And in this place, it's supposed to be a barrier. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are saved. So in this place, you're supposed to feel the safety. You're supposed to feel comforted. You're supposed to be edified. You're supposed to be exhorted. You're supposed to experience the blessings of knowing that God is right where you're at. We need to get back to the fact that in this house, in this place, God feeds people. This is not a place where we are displaying talents. This isn't about who's better than who. This is about Him who's better than all. Amen? Paul mentioned three words in verse number 3. He mentioned three words. One of them is edification. The second is exhortation. And the third is comfort. He said, I would that these things be in the church. Amen. I would that you would be edified. You know what edify means? It means to teach. Amen. It means to teach the things of God. Yeah. It means to expound upon them, to open them up. Exhort means to influence people to do the right thing. Amen. Exhort people. In this house, it's my job to exhort you, influence you to do the right thing. In this house, you're supposed to find comfort when you feel worried or upset or frightened or even stressed out. In this place is a place where the Word of God is to give you comfort and lift you up beyond where you're at that moment. It's supposed to lift you up. You're supposed to come in here and hear a worship song that lifts you into the heavens. You're supposed to come in here and hear a word that spiritually jogs your mind and says, yes, I receive that. It's my prayer that in this house you are fed. I don't want to just be a religious church. I want you to be fed. I want you to leave this house and say, I have received something from God. I've been blessed today. I've been encouraged today. There's nothing worse than going to church hungry, empty, and leaving the same way you came in. There's only two reasons why you would leave the same way you came in. One, you didn't meet God. Or two, you didn't even try to meet God. Amen? Only two reasons. Now, I've been in that place where I was hungry. I needed something from the Lord. I needed a touch from God. And I remember one specific time of my life where I was really down. I mean, just stressed out, worried, and I had a lot of things just bombarding in my life, and I would come to church. And when I got to the house of the Lord, I was wanting so bad a word from God. Something that lift me up, something that would extol me, something that would edify me, something that would bring comfort to my situation. And I remember coming to service after service and receiving nothing. And I remember one time a title was mentioned. And when the title was mentioned, my heart leaped because I thought, surely God is going to speak to me today, because the title was exactly right where I was at. And then the message went a whole nother way. And I remember just sitting there going, when am I going to get fed? When am I going to get fed? That's what the house of God is for.
Yeah.
It's for you to be fed.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse. Now, finally, I had a breakthrough. Evangelist came, preached, and I received a breakthrough. But I'm telling you, this is what the house of God is for. It is for you to be fed. It is for you to be uplifted. It is for you to be comforted. It is for you to be exhorted. Now, in this house is a corporate worship place. You're not worshiping alone in this house. You are worshiping right with your neighbor. When you raise your hand, your neighbor knows you raise it. When you shout, your neighbor knows you shout. Everybody knows that you're worshiping God in this house with them, or you're not worshiping God with them. They know it. This is a corporate place of worship. Now, I want you to know that God can most definitely, and has it many times in people's lives, taken bad situations and made them good. But even so, the devil takes good things and makes them bad. Did you know that your worship can become bad in this corporate setting?
Amen. Come on.
Do you know that you, in your heart, could worship God and it could be out of line? Did you know that you could do the right thing in the wrong way and cause grief in the house of the Lord? Did you know that you could exercise the gifts of the Spirit of God and they could be out of order? That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 14 tells us. Because the church of Corinth had a serious problem. They exercised the gifts, but their gifts of worship in God had corrupted so much the church house that nobody knew what was going on in the house of the Lord. No one knew. Everybody's speaking in tongues. Everybody is doing their thing. There's a prophesy over here. There's a prophet over there. There's a tongues over there. There's a tongues over here. And there's chaos in the house of God because they didn't know how to worship together. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all about worship. Don't get me wrong, I'm all about the gifts of the Spirit. But you need to know that you're not worshiping alone. And you need to ask yourself the question, will this gift in operation at this moment edify? Will it exhort? Will it comfort? Or will it bring confusion into the house of God? Because the gifts of the Spirit are not to bring confusion, as though some people try to think about it and try to say they do, but they're not to bring confusion. They're to bless the church. They're to bless the people. They're to encourage the house of the Lord. The whole point, how can you be edified unless the Spirit of God be in the house of the Lord? How can you be exhorted unless the Spirit of God be in the house of the Lord? And how can you be comforted unless the Spirit of God be in the house of the Lord? Think about it. How many times has God read your mail in this church? How many times you've been dealing with something in the Spirit of the Lord? I've been in church services where one word set me free. I've been in services where just the song got in my heart and lifted me to the heavens. I've been in those places without the Spirit of God at work. So I'm not diminishing the necessity of having the gifts in operation in the church. I'm telling you there's a right way to exercise them.
Amen.
I'm telling you that there's a right way for those things to take place.
Yes.
I am a tongue talker, sir. No doubt about it. I believe in prophecy. No doubt about it. I believe in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I believe in healings and miracles and faith. I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. But when those gifts get out of line, they make a confusing sound in the church. The church of Corinth was abusing the gifts. But more specifically, they were abusing the gift of tongues. And it was bringing confusion into the church.
Amen.
Look at verse 7 with me, will you? Verse 7 says, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Paul is using sounds as a metaphor to understand. Listen, some of you know when we're going to sing All Fly Away, you know the sound of it.
Hallelujah.
Some of you know when we're going to sing Look What the Lord Has Done, you know the sound of it.
God.
There's a distinction that sets it apart.
Yeah.
I want you to know that the gifts of the Spirit have a distinction in the service of God that sets it apart.
Man.
When the Spirit of God moves in the gift of tongues and interpretation in the church, there's often a holy hush. There's often a spiritual move that quiets the house of the Lord. There's a distinction in the sound that sets up the gift to be in operation. Paul uses this metaphor to understand, to help us understand that the gifts need to be in operation so it doesn't bring confusion into the house of God. He says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how shall they prepare themselves for the battle? Because the Bible teaches us in the old days they would stand upon the tops of the walls and the trumpet would make a certain sound. And that sound would say, there's a war getting ready to start. Or that sound would say, it's time to gather at the house of the Lord. Or that sound would say, it's time to praise the Lord. Or that sound would say, everybody get into the safety of the walls because an enemy is approaching. If the trumpet made a sound that wasn't right, people would die. People wouldn't know what to do. They'd be in a state of confusion. Church, this place needs to make the right sound so that when this church begins to pipe, when it begins to shout, everybody knows that this is a place God can speak. So when do the gifts cause confusion? Or when do the gifts make a confusing sound for others? Good question, isn't it? When do the gifts of the Spirit of God get used by the enemy more than used by God?
Come on.
Number one, when they are used to glorify yourself.
Come on. Preach it.
When they are used to glorify yourself.
Amen.
This Bible is not to lift you up.
Man.
It is to lift him up.
Hallelujah.
It is to exalt him. This is not about who's the best, who's the most talented, who's got the best oratory skills, who can really speak in tongues better than anybody, who can really interpret better than anybody. I've seen people say, well, I'll just give a tongue since this person, they'll definitely interpret. That is out of line. You better be moved by the Spirit of God, because I'm telling you, the person who's going to interpret it, they may only be moved by the Spirit of God and they may not interpret your junk. But the truth is that many people don't see the gifts as a way to exhort, edify, or comfort others. They see it as a gift to lift themselves up. To boast about who they are and what they've achieved and what they've done. This is not about us. We're worshiping in this house together. And when the gifts come in, they're going to be done in order. And they're going to be done right. And they're going to be done the way God said they should be done. Otherwise, the enemy uses them. Because that's exactly what the enemy was doing in Corinth. Here's a church that spoke in tongues all the time.
Right.
You would call this church the Pentecostal of Pentecostal churches. Corinth is Pentecostal through and through. They're a tongue-talking church. They speak in tongues all the time. Matter of fact, so much that no one knows what anybody's saying.
Man.
And Paul corrects it. He corrects it later on in the same chapter. He said, I'd rather speak 10 words in a tongue understood than 10,000 words in a tongue not understood, because of the simple fact that this is a place where you're to be edified, exhorted, and comforted. This is not a place of glorifying you. It's a place of glorifying God so people may know. The problem is that many people use the gifts as a way to display themselves. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Had a minister one time call me. I scheduled him to preach, and he called me. He said, "Oh, I'm so excited. We saw miracles, healings, deaf ears open, lame people walking, all these things, and I believe in all that." Matter of fact, when he said it, I didn't realize he was giving me his spiritual resume. I thought he was glorifying God. But in truth, he was pumping himself up. Because when he came to minister, I got to see the show, if you know what I mean. He told people that had hearing issues that they were healed. I want to tell you something. If God heals you, you'll know it. And I ain't got to tell you, you are. Amen. I never heard of one person in the Bible literally saying, "Hey, did I get healed, Jesus?"
Come on. Try.
I never heard of one person say to Peter, "I don't know if I got it. Do I have it?" Not one of Paul's, when Paul, his handkerchiefs and aprons were laid upon the sick bodies and they recovered, they knew they were healed.
Man.
No question about it, but the show went on, if you know what I mean.
Amen.
Put their hands on them, walk away from them, talk into a microphone, stick them next to a speaker and say, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, yes, I can." Well, of course you can. You're standing by a speaker. I've seen gimmicks in Pentecostal ranks, nothing more than self-gratification. The gifts are not for you to display as some spiritual talent. They are there that the church might be exhorted, edified, and comforted. It is nothing more than that. Don't let the devil use the gifts in your life. Let God use the gifts in your life.
Hallelujah.
Second reason why the gifts can cause confusing sounds in the church is because they take the place of solid teaching.
Come out.
I want you to know that, yes, I love it when the Spirit moves in the gifts.
Amen.
But the gifts do not take the place of solid teaching. Matter of fact, without solid teaching, the gifts will not work right.
Amen.
We have to have the foundation,
yeah.
The rock to build upon.
Yeah.
Any builder will tell you a home or a facility that's being built is only as good as its foundation.
Yes.
Because the truth is that if we build on slippery sand of people's thoughts and excitement or emotionalism, all we have is the slippery slopes of people's up and down excitement. But if we have the solid foundation, we can never slip any further than the rock we built on. We can never slip any farther than the rock we built on by simply building right. The foundation has to be set. The teaching has to be there. The solid teaching of God's word, the teaching of sanctification, the teaching of salvation, the doctrine of repentance, the doctrines of holiness, the doctrines where we understand how to live for God, how to love God, how to do right. These doctrines must be established. How can the gifts be in operation when the Holy Spirit can't even work in your life on the basis of telling you how to live? But yet you can tell others how to live. gifts of the Spirit, when they exhort people, the word exhort means to influence others to do something right. How can you exhort somebody? How can you lift somebody up to do something right when the Spirit of God can't even tell you to do right? Understand that you can't get the cart before the horse.
Amen.
Understand that God doesn't want us to replace solid teaching with just some gifts. He wants the teaching to be there. He wants the foundation to be there.
Yes.
So the gifts can work. And they can work right.
Amen.
The biggest problem today is that no one's willing to build a foundation the gifts can work on. That's the problem today. Most churches say the gifts are not for today because they don't want to take the labor and do the labor it takes to actually build the foundation for those things to work on. There's a lot of problems in the church today, and a lot of those problems could be solved with somebody getting up and prophesying.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
God, amen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could be solved in the house of God if the Spirit of God was in charge.
Yeah.
And not you or the pastor. The third reason why the gifts can cause confusion for others is that emotionalism takes the place of rational thinking. You know, the gifts of God are very powerful. I mean, they are powerful. Think about it. When Peter came to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, the Bible declares that when he got up, he went into the temple praising God, shouting. And they recognized him. Hey, ain't that the guy out there begging? And he's in here dancing, praising God? It created an emotional stir. It created an emotional excitement in him. Because he was healed. He was recovered. He was made whole. And so emotionally, he got excited about it. You know, too many Pentecostal people, all they want to do is live there. They want to live in the emotionalism of the great things and not think rationally. I want you to know that God doesn't just stop with blessing you once, healing you once, strengthening you once, encouraging you once. He keeps going and going and going. And so many people only go to churches unless they've got an emotional stir. Oh, I felt the emotions, the tingles, the touch, the hair standing up. Well, can you serve God when it's falling apart? Can you serve God when you feel nothing? Can you serve God when the devil's coming in like a flood? Can you serve God when all hell's come against you? Can you serve Him when everything's falling apart? When the job says, I got to lay you off? When the friends forsake you. Everybody wants emotionalism. Excite me. Listen, I love excitement. I'm the first one to shout, trust me. I'm the first one to dance, do all the goof stuff that we all so love. But I want to tell you that it doesn't take the place of thinking straight. Doesn't take the place of saying, there's a way this needs to be done. There's a way this needs to work. There's a way this needs to flow. The Spirit of the Lord, He works in order. He doesn't work in chaos. I know people in Pentecostal ranks that don't think they went to church unless there was tongues and interpretation. I'm telling you that God can do more in just one song,
Amen.
In just one word, and out of His word, than any tongue and any interpretation. Because I've heard some tongues and interpretation, I think they need to do a little practicing.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about that later on, it's important for the church, and I'll tell you why later. But the point is this, that it needs to be done in right in order. Emotionalism should never take the place of rational thinking.
Amen.
The gifts are not to become an emotional wreck.
Amen.
And for the church to be an emotional wreck. No, the gifts are to uplift the house of the Lord. They're to exhort, edify, and they are to comfort. You're supposed to be able to come into this house and the gifts be in operation. They're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be able to come up here and say, I need a healing, and receive a healing. You're supposed to be able to come in here and need a miracle, and God provide a miracle. You're supposed to be able to come into this home, this place, and these gifts be in operation. The only reason why they are not in operation is sometimes is because our life is not in the right place it needs to be.
Amen.
Do you know that in every third world country, the gifts are in operation? In Africa, one of our young ladies watched as a goiter that you could fit in the palm of your hand shrunk in the hands of them that prayed. In this church, a young lady saw this in Africa. There are miracles upon miracles upon miracles upon miracles upon miracles taking place. What is the difference there than here? I'll tell you what the difference is. You ready? I'm going to explain it through a story. They traveled 2-3 days to get to the house of the Lord.
Man.
Some of you can't come when you have a small headache. I'm not picking on anybody. I got the American mentality just like everybody else does. But I'm telling you that that's the difference. We don't come in here expecting God to move. We come in here and we ask Him to move, and then we go home and say, well, I guess it wasn't for me.
Come on, preach it.
They came, they traveled hundreds of miles. They traveled days, if not weeks, to get to the place because they want to hear something from God.
Hallelujah.
When are you going to come into this house with that attitude and say, I expect to meet God today? I've come here with an attitude that says, God, I need a blessing. I need a touch. And I'm telling you, your worship's going to be different. Your praise is going to be different. Your heart is going to be different. When everything is done, the preaching, you'll be engaged. You won't be falling asleep. Paul said this. Look at verse 12. I'm closing with this. Paul said in verse number 12, he said, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That is the goal of corporate worship. Ask yourself, does your form of worship interrupt other people? It's good to be quiet there for a moment. Let you just chew on that for a minute, huh? We worship in this place together, and we need to be respectful of one another.
Amen.
God will respect people. He's not the kind of God to force himself, but I promise you that the gifts have a distinction in their sound. When they happen, even the sinners know it's real. Amen?
Amen.
There are people in this community that will not come to this church because it has the name on it, Pentecostal. You know why? Because Pentecostalism has gotten a bad name because the gifts have been misused or abused. And today you can watch a Discovery Channel and find Pentecostal snake handlers that are the weirdest people in the whole world. And they throw us all in the same box. I want you to know that in this house, God expects an order to be there. And He wants us to worship together and do it the right way.